RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
You've got questions. Melanie's got answers. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Well, you know, on my shows, we talk about the pelvic floor muscles quite a bit and Kegel exercises and things that you can do to really keep your pelvic floor strong. But is there an increased risk of developing pelvic floor problems if you're an athlete or very active? My guest today is Missy Lavender. She's founder and executive director of the Women's Health Foundation. She's also the author of two books, You Go Girl, But Only When You Want To. I just love that title. And You Go Girl, But Only When You Want To, a senior edition. Welcome to the show. So, Missy, I love the title of your book. What great titles.
Thank you, Melanie.
That's awesome. So, okay, pelvic floors, are these more susceptible to being strong or a little bit weaker if you're somebody who's very, very active?
It's a really good question. So the reality is most of us who do things athletic, like run or anything sports-wise, are not taking care of our pelvic floors the same way we're taking care of our biceps and triceps and quads and all the rest of our big muscle group. So for most people, they're not as strong as they should be.
Wow. You know, when I, and as a trainer, Missy, whenever I'm working, especially with my women over 50, we always do a lot of pelvic floor exercises while they're doing their pelvic tilts and lifts, and we do Kegels. We do all kinds of different, you know, exercises, but younger women and certainly very athletic women may take it for granted and don't even think about it so much.
That's right. That's right. And the University of Utah did some wonderful research with a fantastic scientist out of Norway that looked at high-performance athletes and pelvic floors. And first of all, they showed that the more strain you put on your pelvic floor, so the more strenuous your athletic endeavor, the more you needed a higher tone pelvic floor, obviously. And then they did the inverse and basically showed that if you're a high performance athlete, you need to be tending to your pelvic floor. I mean, it only makes sense.
Well, I know that after I had my babies and then I started exercising again, boy, it was hard, as you say, only when you want to. Boy, you know, it's just leaking all over the place, and it's not right. Exactly a pleasant thing. So what do you want women to know about exercise and adding in exercises just as they would for their biceps or their triceps, adding in things that they can do to keep their pelvic floor strong? It's a little harder of an exercise.
Well, it's harder because these aren't muscles that we can look at the gym. It's not like we're
That's
going,
right.
Hey, look at my levator anterior. Aren't they fabulous, right? So out of sight, out of mind. That's the first challenge we have. But when women ask me about them, how long do I have to keep doing these? I say, you know, as long as you're above ground. So biggest set of muscles, we're not working. So first of all, you have to understand where they are. You have to be able to identify what it feels like to do a Kegel, which rhymes with bagel, by the way. And then you have to do them regularly for the rest of your life, assuming you want to have a well-toned pelvic floor. So first thing is to identify where they are. I mean, we can conceptually know where they are, Melanie, but it's a different mechanism for women to activate their pelvic floors than it is to activate their biceps.
Well, it certainly is. So when, I mean, I we have to get a little bit graphic when we're talking about this stuff,
sure.
But when I tell people how to sort of find those muscles and feel if they're doing it, you know, you use your hand, you put your finger
That's
around
right.
there and feel if you can squeeze, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's even something you can help, your partner can help you because you can do that after intercourse as well. But I mean, finding them is the first big challenge.
Exactly. And so I love that you say that because there are G-rated ways to do this, and we do this in our total control program, you know, in gym settings. But I always tell women, if you're struggling with what I'm asking you to do here, go home, lubricate up a finger, insert it in your vagina, get to know your body. And then if you feel your finger drawing up and in when you think about squeezing around those openings and lifting, this, which is how we cue them, then you're probably doing it correctly. If you feel the finger, however, descending or coming out of your vagina, then you're bearing down, which is completely the opposite of what we want you to do. And then we say, you know, if you have any questions or you're really not sure, find a coach. You know, at a minimum, your OBGYN, but there's also pelvic floor trainers. Pelvic floor physical therapists. There's wonderful trainers like you that are educated. You know, don't stumble around and try to guess if you really don't know what you're doing.
And not only that, there are some like cones and things. There's vaginal cones you can use to help mm-hmm. sort of work. I don't know that I necessarily you know, agree with using those. I like, you know, the finger thing better, or even having, you know, your partner help you. But this is such an important thing. And when you, we hear bicep curls, do 12 of them with 10 pounds. How many Kegels do you want people to do? How often?
Well, okay, first of all, it's super important that we talk about high-toned pelvic floors and regular pelvic floors. So women who have any kind of chronic pelvic pain or pain when they're doing their Kegels should stop immediately and get checked. Because if your pelvic floor is already too tight for whatever reason, you don't want to be doing wild Kegeling, right? That's going to make it worse. You're going to need to learn how to relax. But for a typical woman trying to get her pelvic floor in its best shape or recovering from pregnancy or trying to avoid or improve when things start to fall, you're going to want to do, we say 10 at 10 and 10 at 2. I mean, a minimum 10 reps twice a day, bare minimum. And the thing about them, Melanie, is that there's a combination of different muscle fibers. So we also like to have women do short holds and then sustained holds. Short ones are for that one sneeze. The long holds are maybe you're sneezing, you know, three or four times.
For the bigger one, or crossing your legs, of course. That's what a lot of women do. Now,
right,
Missy, the fact is that people do this, and then they hear other people say, start and stop your stream. But some doctors say you should not do that.
Never. Should never do that.
Okay, so speak to that a little bit, because women get confused about this, and they hear that, and they say, well, why shouldn't I practice starting and stopping my stream?
Right. And I will say that every article I've read recently, Melanie, where they even mentioned this, they always say, don't ever do that again. But it's an important thing for us because it's a cue that women can relate to if they're trying to identify these muscles. They may have been told, they may have read, you know, to see if your pelvic floor is, you know, working right or you're getting the right muscles, go ahead and try to stop the flow of urine. Here's the problem. When you actually have that beautiful moment on the toilet that we ask you to wait a couple or 3 hours for, you want to relax and let your bladder contract, let those pelvic floor muscles relax, and have that beautiful aha moment for a couple of minutes. We like to say sit and take two. You don't want to be interrupting it, and the reason is because, first of all, it completely disorients your body with what it's supposed to be doing, and then you might not fully get everything out. And then you get into that feeling in about 21 minutes of, I think I have to go again. And you sit down, and in fact, you have more urine in there. That can tend to lead women into a cycle of frequency, and we really don't want to have that happen. That becomes stone condition. So sit and take two, have that beautiful aha moment. At the end, if you feel like you still want to do a pelvic floor contraction, do one. Do a short little up and in, and then relax again. There might be a little more urine that comes out. But at the end,
At the end. So in just the last minute here, give us your best advice, Missy, and tell people where they can learn more about the Women's Health Foundation.
Sure. Well, my advice is to just do it. I mean, really find, identify your pelvic floor muscles, exercise them in your best optimum position, which is usually starting laying down and then building to a seated or standing. So start with your basics. And then to learn more, come to the Women's Health Foundation. It's womenshealthfoundation.org.
Womenshealthfoundation.org. It's a great organization that tells women all about their pelvic floor. And yes, we get a little bit graphic here, but we have to, ladies, because we're talking about our bodies. And while we take care of everybody else in this world, it's time we take care of ourselves just a little. Put your own mask on before you put the mask of everybody else on. So practice your Kegel exercises. Make sure that you know how to do them properly. If you don't, speak with someone who's educated. Talk to your gynecologist about it and strengthen up those pelvic floor muscles. And if you're an athlete, don't neglect them, because you know, while you're working on your quads and your hamstrings, you may not be thinking about an important muscle that is going to start to have trouble as you get older. So this is all great advice, and that's what we do here at Radio MD. And if you missed any of it, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.